Virginia Trioli. Mornings on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
It's a crippling neurological disorder. It's caused by repeated knocks to the brain. American sports people and sports groups were dragged to an understanding and realization of that after so many of their players in later life were diagnosed with it, of course, posthumously. Now, research has been done on the brain of Polly Farmer, our great celebrated footy player and real AFL star. When I was growing up, he was one who was mentioned again and again as someone you could absolutely rely on for a brilliant bit of play. He died last year after a long battle with Alzheimer's disease. Professor Alan Pearce, the Associate Professor and Neuroscientist at La Trobe University, is the Research Manager of the Australian Sports Brain Bank in Victoria, and he's the lead author of a study that's just been published overnight that sheds new light on the football legend's suffering over 2 decades. Professor Alan Pearce, good morning.
Good morning, Virginia.
What did your research on the brain tissue of Polly Farmer's brain show you?
Polly was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease and he suffered with that for 20-odd years. Thankfully, his family donated his brain to the Sports Brain Bank, the Australian Sports Brain Bank. And through post-mortem analysis, what we found was that there was some Alzheimer's disease pathology, but there was also what we call chronic traumatic encephalopathy as well. So that actually sort of demonstrates that his history of head trauma playing football may have actually contributed to his CTE.
And that's sustained by repeated knocks. Is it as simple as that?
Well, that's what we're seeing with the emerging research worldwide. So the difference between Alzheimer's disease and CTE is that while head trauma is a risk factor for Alzheimer's, it's a greater risk factor for CTE because the way the pathology progresses in the brains of those who've had repeated trauma is different to Alzheimer's. It actually has a different sort of progression.
And what does CTE cause or create?
Well, CTE is essentially it's a protein called tau, and it's normally within the brain cells or the neurons and helps with the structure of neurons. But if it is released, and in Alzheimer's we don't really know how that occurs, but with CTE we are assuming that it's through trauma. Once that is released into the wider environment, it then becomes toxic to the neurons or the brain cells, and eventually it kills them. So it's a degenerative disease.
And so it therefore, over time, just kills all aspects of the brain function or some?
Yeah, so it depends on how far the sort of progression goes. We have from stage one, which is minimal, through to stage four, which is almost like if you see a stage four CTE brain, it looks like an Alzheimer's brain. So there's a lot of loss of brain tissue globally. So it's actually quite a devastating pathology.
Was it as clear as day the moment you saw it?
Yes, yeah. So Polly was diagnosed with stage 3 CTE. And Michael Buckland, who's the senior author of the paper, probably has sort of said it's probably CTE stage 3.5. So it's on the severe scale.
And is the only conclusion that it's been a lifetime of head trauma and of concussion and the like that's created that?
Mm. Well, I guess with Polly's case study, it's difficult to get his actual history of head trauma, but we do know from studies from the Boston Brain Bank group that they've shown it's an exposure risk. So the more that an athlete at any level, it doesn't have to be just an elite athlete, is experiencing trauma to the brain through, you know, repetitive knocks over the lifetime, then that's the risk factor for CTE.
As I mentioned, this has been a big discussion over in America, particularly with American football players, and an issue that the sports sporting codes there have sort of been reluctantly led to. Does the AFL have a big conversation to have here with its players and with its community about the risk of CTE?
Look, I think that's the conversation that the AFL have to have themselves. You know, as scientists, we're here just to present evidence and to do our research, and then it's up to the wider community to obviously take that on board and see what can be done about it.
And what about us as parents and as people who work in community footy and the like and sending our kids off to play football from a young age? As a scientist, what do you say to us about that kind of early and, of course, not necessarily as powerful head trauma, but head trauma nonetheless in an early age? Is that something we need to consider now?
Yes, I think so. And obviously America is about 10, maybe even longer years ahead of us. And so they've got a much greater sample of brains to, you know, do their science on. And what they're showing in America is that a number of states are reducing or modifying their contact sports to at least the age of 12 years of age. So, for example, American football, they don't do contact in some states until 12. In the UK, you may have heard a couple of days ago, they're banning heading for children the age of 12. So it's that reducing the exposure as much as possible. And it's really not about stopping the sports or changing the sports. It's actually just... like in other sports like tennis or baseball, they have a modified version to protect growing bodies. Mm-hmm. And so we're just suggesting that to reduce the exposure risk, we just modify the sports to reduce the exposure on the brain of developing kids.
Really good to talk to you, Alan Pearce. Thank you.